How are you? Thank
Good
you
morning.
That you managed to make it in spite of the fact that right now you are taking so well-deserved holidays. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Roger, who killed Lindsey Graham?
Who killed Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, of course. It's obvious that it's not just a sudden death of a 71-year-old man who was in pretty decent physical shape. That immediately happened after he visited Ukraine, and that he was buried many days after this event, and he was buried in a coffin that was actually closed. And we haven't seen even one single autopsy saying that the reason of his death is just suddenly he died. Was he murdered by Ukrainians? Is it the only way to pass this law that is so anti-Russian that basically you have to say that that's it, no more diplomatic or any other relationship between Russia and the United States? It's almost a declaration of war. So that's why they had to kill him, because now being dead, he is much more valuable than being alive.
You want my answer on that? My opinion, I think now you are entering the realm of the conspiracy theory.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, this goes too far. I mean, come
on. That's how modern world is thinking right now. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, conspiracy. That's
every single
you are
turn
thinking.
Is conspiracy. Exactly. And I'm amazed that neither Russia nor Iran has been blamed for killing Lindsey Graham.
I mean, what this, the law that the Senate passed, what this shows is the situation of the United States. And President Trump is among the Republicans in the U.S., one of the few politicians who argued from the beginning for a reasonable relationship to Russia. But of course, on the right in the U.S., as you well know, there are a lot of Russia eaters, and Lindsey Graham was among them. I mean, he was the guy who said, if I'm right, that we, meaning the Americans, the West, we should fight Russia till the last Ukrainian. I mean, he was one of the big endorsers of this whole catastrophe. But Donald Trump actually is a pragmatist in this sense. But the Republican Party, and this is the concerning thing, in the Republican Party, there are many, many people who are probably still entrenched in the Cold War. And the thing is that I see what I observe in Europe is the thing that some of the politicians in Europe, they try to sit it out. You know, they wait till in the next election, the midterms, Trump is losing big time, and they're hoping that then that the war fraction in the United States is getting stronger and stronger, which is a concerning development. However, if I listen to some of the American realists like John Mearsheimer, they are still convinced that this will not change the outcome of the war in Ukraine, because they say that Russia will win, but it will end in a very, yeah, you could say in a terrible situation. But let me ask you one thing, which I think always strikes me when I listen to you. I see a big contradiction in your argument. On the one hand, you're saying Russia is making progress. Russia is winning and Russia will achieve its goals. On the other hand, you are advocating for escalation. You are advocating for mobilization. And this, of course, doesn't go together. I mean, if Russia is really winning, then you could continue to win. But on the other hand, you're saying that much stronger means are needed. Can you explain this
sure.
contradiction
First
in your,
of all,
in your,
I'm
in your
never
argument?
Pro-mobilization. I'm against mobilization in terms of getting more people on the front line. It's another type of war. So I think that those who are saying that we need to mobilize more troops, they are wrong. It's completely different type of war. You need to train people for quite some time. You need to get them whatever you need, ammunition and other stuff. There's no need for that right now. So there's no need for mobilization as such. When we're talking about concentration of efforts, economic-wise, yes, that's what's necessary. I do believe that the best way, and when I'm saying that we have to be much more aggressive and stronger, that means using completely different type of weapon for achieving goals. That's not sending more people on the front line. That's using different type of weapon for achieving goals. In order to win this war, we have to hit Europe hard. And not civilians, not the poor people that have no idea what's happening in the world and living in the villages or in the little towns. No, the military infrastructure that is working for the benefit of Ukrainian Nazis. That's what I mean. We are winning this war, and if you look, for example, Americans were saying that Russia is paper tiger, and that, come on, you wanted to take Kyiv in 3 days, that actually never been proclaimed as a goal, and it's complete bullshit. But now look at you. What you achieved in Iran? We can ask Americans. Nothing. Basically, you are losing this war against Iran. As the result of this war, you haven't gained even one single square inch. You've lost your influence in the Arab world. You cannot protect your allies. You cannot protect your own military base. You cannot protect Israel. And even Hormuz right now is closed. And Bab el-Mandeb is the next one straight that's going to be closed. Now your gas tanker has been hit by the coastline of Lebanon. We don't know by whom. But what are you getting? And when we're talking about America and this law that they're passing, come on, if you're putting sanctions on Russian president, how can he afterwards send you ambassador of doing what? Meeting the person that you're claiming is under sanctions. So realistically, that means that you're declaring war on Russia. So get the hell out of Russia. Take your ambassador out of Russia. Send Russian diplomats back to Russia. Cut all the relationship with Russia, economic, political, everything. And what we'll do, I think, we should confiscate whatever you have Americans in Russia, including businesses, and we'll get out of the dollar zone. And that will be the end of the world economy as we know it now. The same with Europeans. Why are you getting this 21st list of sanctions? And you're still buying Russian gas. It's stupid. So just forget about Russia. Put the Iron Curtain. No more economic relationship with Russia. Bang euros in a relationship with Russia. That's it. Forget about us. And try to survive. You'll have very reliable source of energy coming from the United States. With very predictable American leader, who is willing to take part of, that's what you consider to be yours, like Greenland. But of course you're going to fight him. And of course you can be absolutely sure that he will not sanction European companies and European manufacturers, because he's an ally of yours, right? And you decided to get rid of Russia because of what? What do you have to gain from this war with Russia? And now when Putin is saying that, whether you like it or not, but history borders gonna emerge, and that land that has been given to Ukraine by Stalin, that used to be Polish, Hungarian, Romanian, sooner or later will get back to Poland, Hungary, and Romania. So what political leaders of those countries going to say? Oh, no. We're going to fight for Stalin's order and the world order that has been created by bloody tyrant Stalin that gave our land to Ukraine should stay. Or they will say, come on, there are people living there that are Hungarians, Polacks, Romanians, and we want them back to motherland with land that used to be ours. What are they going to say? If Russia lose, let's imagine. What will be in it for Poland, Hungary, and Romania? And if Russia wins, what will be in there? Romanians will get back the territory. Hungarians will get back the territory. Poland will get back the territory. Tell me, as any political leader that is interested in the national interest of his people, what will be their choice? Keep spending taxpayers' money for the war that they can gain nothing out of it? Or being realistic, saying that we want our historic land back? What's the right answer? Tough question.
2 points. First, what you're saying, it's interesting about the United States of America and Iran, and it's, of course, true that they totally underestimated Iran. And it's a similar situation that we see with Russia. I mean, even Russia underestimated totally the Ukraine. It underestimated the response of the West. And I think that President Putin got trapped in his own rhetoric when you read his speeches. I mean, some of them I've read where he talks about the decadence of the West. I mean, if the West is so decadent, why can the West cause so many problems for the,
like
the Russians?
Like what problems he caused to us?
Yeah. I mean, you see it. I mean, what problems he caused to us? Let me finish.
Sure,
my
sure.
Point.
But you sure. know, we've been through this every single time. Once again,
yeah, but
wake up.
It's not a question of waking up.
Be realistic. It's important because you are living in the fairy tale of the West. What's the reality? The reality is that since June 22nd, 1941, till May 9th, 1945, we gained as Soviet Union less territory that became part of the Soviet Union that we gained from 24th of February 2022 till today. This military campaign that we're having now is one of the most successful military campaigns in the history of the 20th century and 21st century. We gained land. Azov Sea is finally domestic sea of Russia. We gained people. We haven't lost people. We gained more people. We increased population of Russia. Economically, we are growing, not declining. If you put back this stupid rhetorics of the West, we are much more successful than any military campaign held by anyone in the 20th century. You NATO forces managed to lose war in Iraq after decade of fighting in Iraq. You have zero influence in Iraq. You managed to lose war in Afghanistan after all the people being killed there. You are not there. You retreated from Afghanistan. What military campaign NATO forces can actually put as the active, as the benefit? This now, this situation, economically, you lost. You have growth that is basically zero, if not declining, since 22. Your economy is not in a good shape. You have fled a lot of refugees. The level of life of your people declined because you have to pay to some ugly guys that are coming with their Rolls Royces and saying that you owe them money. You've lost Russian market. You've lost Russian affordable resources. You spoiled your relationship with China. You've lost all your businesses that you had in Russia. On what fronts are you winning?
I'm not arguing that Europe is winning in this war anything. I'm arguing that Europe is one of the big losers in this confrontation,
exactly.
Which is totally useless. But, and I mean, here you are living in a fairy tale land. I mean, whatever you say, and I think it's always interesting to listen to a counterpoint to conventional wisdom.
But it's just basic calculation. Territory gained, natural resources gained, population gained against losses.
Okay. I'm talking here from a Swiss perspective, which is the neutral observer, or I'm trying to be a neutral observer. and I share some of your opinions, of course, but I think it's obvious that also for Russia, we are seeing that these kind of wars are extremely expensive. I mean, we see growing discontent in Russia. We're reading, probably it's
By
wrong, we're
whom?
reading in our newspapers, they're like kicking out some of the people in the elite. You had big problems in the
Where?
administration of your army.
Where
Yeah,
big
come on.
problems
I mean,
where?
you had to push away your Mr. Shoigu. He was the general. He was the leader. He had to be pushed to another position. I mean, Russia has
What
difficulties.
position?
I don't judge it. I don't
Man,
judge it. I just
look,
say,
but once
don't.
again, forget about your damn papers. They have no idea what's happening. Shoigu is right now in another position that in the rank of Russian authority is higher than Minister of Defense.
I'm not believing what the German or European
Yeah, but
newspapers are saying. I'm counting on my own sources,
with
but
Minister Shoigu, right now he is in a position that in Russian hierarchy is higher than Minister of Defense.
basic thing is the following. This war is, of course, terrible. It's very dangerous,
Every war is terrible.
of course, but your contradiction is still around. I mean, if you're saying that this is the most successful military campaign, why are you criticizing your
Because
government
I
in
want it to
doing
be
more
even
for that?
more successful. Because I want
No.
to destroy the evil itself. Because I don't want to hit the barking dog. I want to hit the owner of this dog that's giving commands.
But this is, come on, this is total crap. You cannot say I'm trying to destroy the evil. I mean, this kind of biblical language, give me a break. I mean, the basic thing,
That's
let's
why
go
you will
to.
never understand us, because we
No.
are people of religion, and you are
Yeah.
trying to be pragmatic. And with your damn open windows, and you thinking that Calvin was the greatest ever. Come on, guys, you just have no fucking idea what religion is. You have your very pragmatic way of getting Bible to a couple of theses that has nothing to do with true religion. You never fought for your religion in the way that we did. You never suffered for your beliefs. That's why you have this very pragmatic way. Basically, absolutely, as we call it, heretics way. Heretus, that means I choose what I want to believe and what I don't want to believe. And that's why all your European attitude toward religion is perfect one, saying that, oh, those chapters I do like, those chapters. And those, no, that I don't want to. And by the way, yeah, we'll call it yet another version of Christianity, like those damn Brits. When this motherfucker couldn't get this yet another chance of fuck yet another lady, and he decided to marry her, and she was number eight, he decided, well, no more Rome, no more Catholicism. Let me get my own religion. I will decide by myself. And now they call it Anglican Church with the homosexuals on the top of it. Wow, man, that's true religion. Yeah, of course. So don't you discuss religion matters with Russian Jew. Forget it, you know. And when they say, oh, come on, we are the one that suffer for our beliefs and are ready to die for our beliefs, not you. Not you. You have other values to die for, not religious one, and I respect that. But when
Okay.
you're saying that your religion believes a total crap, no, man, we suffered for them. That's the
Yes.
way we live. That's why
Yeah.
we're Russians. That's why we are with God. And that's important. That's why the value of human life, as far as we're concerned, is very important. But motherland and beliefs and God is much more important than life of every single one of us. We have purpose, and this purpose is not egoistic. In the center of our universe, in the center of our universe is not we. It's not me, the human being. No, it's God in the center of all. That's how we think. That's why we fight. That's why no one ever will be able to fight against Russians and win.
Yeah. Well, I respect, of course, this attitude. I respect the history. I respect the religion. But you cannot accept from, or you cannot expect from me that I say, "Well, there
I
is
don't
one
want
people.
To expect anything from you.
They are closer. They are closer
it,
to
it
God."
It doesn't matter.
You know? Yeah, but let me.
That,
let
that's
me.
Important, man. It's
yeah,
one thing,
on.
And I'll give you a chance after the news break. But there's one thing that you do not understand. We're not fighting for your understanding or for your love. We couldn't give damn about it. We don't want you to love us. I told it many times. We don't want your love. You just have to fear us. You have to be sure.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. If you cannot live with us, leave us alone. If you cannot find a way of communicating with us, forget about us. We don't give a fuck. But if you are willing to try us, you have to know we're the worst enemy that you can even dream of and imagine. The worst. And we're the best friends if you can understand Russian soul. We'll continue after the short break.
Meine Damen und Herren, bitte verzeihen Sie diesen überfallartigen Unterbruch. Ich werde dem Moderator selbstverständlich das Mikrofon gleich wieder zurückgeben. Doch vorher habe ich eine ganz wichtige Durchsage. Abonnieren Sie die Weltwoche. Gegensteuer, die andere Sicht, seit über 90 Jahren. Heute so dringend, so notwendig, so aktuell wie nie. Jedes Abo. Eine Liebeserklärung an die Meinungsvielfalt. Alle Informationen finden Sie unter diesem Video. Vielen herzlichen Dank.
Yeah, okay. So, and one, once I again, because they will be quoting, so I want them to realize, when I'm talking about gain of territory, I don't mean the territory that we actually managed to reach Russian soldiers, but the territory that became official part of the Soviet Union, and now became official part of Russian Federation. So because, yes, we went all the way to Berlin, but then we had to go back. So it's completely, you know, it's not for the first time that we've been in Berlin. Every century
then,
we have a tendency of marching in Berlin.
Well, but, you know, to look at it realistically, I mean, and I don't go, my sources are not the Western newspapers. I talk to a lot of people in Russia. I've been to Russia several times, as you well know, in recent weeks. And I observe there is a growing concern in Russia. And I see there is also, you know, the people are not happy with everything is going, too many dead people on the front line, too heavy price. And now there is even rumor of a new wave of mobilization. I have heard that in Moscow, some bureaucrats are rather well-off people have already tried to go away. I mean, you know much better what's going on. But I see.
Yeah, that's
also
what I can tell you.
But
Those people whom you are talking to, they can leave anytime. Russian border, yeah, but Russian borders are open. So if they want to go, they're free
should,
to go.
I mean, we are journalists here. We should try to bring a realistic view, not a propaganda view, some kind of gung-ho story. Then the second thing, you're always saying the West wants to destroy Russia. The West wants to push Russia back, even to destroy Russia, to annihilate Russia.
Exactly.
And I have to contradict. That's not true. I mean,
right.
The basic thing, if you start to take seriously the position also of Western politicians, you can criticize it. But there is one thing. In 1994, Russia has signed a contract called the Budapest Memorandum. And in this memorandum, Russia said, we guarantee the security of the Ukrainian borders, and in exchange, the Ukrainians gave their Soviet Union nuclear weapons to Russia, which was officially, lawfully the successor of the Soviet Union. And now we have a situation where Russia, for what reasons, whatever, decided to invade sovereign Ukraine. And now you, Vladimir, you are expecting the Germans to say, thank you very much, Russia, that you invaded Ukraine, because this brings us in a fantastic position, because now Berlin, which had a quite an okay relationship with Moscow, is totally paralyzed. Because as you well know, no German politician can shake hands with the Kremlin when the Kremlin is changing the borders in between, because also there are some guys in Germany who have not forgotten history. And then they start to think about the Hitler-Stalin Pact of 1939, which was in the Western European and even in some Eastern or Middle European collective consciousness is the basic reason for breaking out of the Second World War, because these two dictators, they agreed and then they started to change the borders. This is the psychological problem that is there in Europe. And this is the point of truth of the critics of Russia. Of course, you can say these are all idiots. They don't believe in God.
No, they're not
they're
idiots.
They're totally out
it's
of their
worse
mind.
Than that.
They're crazy.
They just said,
they're decadent.
No, worse than that,
but
Roger.
Let me tell you this. I mean, even
yes.
you, if you're honest, Vladimir,
I'm
if you're
honest.
Really honest, you
I'm
are disappointed.
Honest.
You are disappointed by how this war is going. You would love that it's all over. Putin, your president, he's not the guy for long wars. He's a brilliant strategist, or he used to be one, and a tactician. But now, sorry, he overestimated himself. And now let me, my last point.
Yes, yeah.
That's important. I agree with you. No, come on. It's my turn now. I agree with you that the Westerners, the Americans, the Europeans, they always overestimate themselves, even the Swiss from time to time. But also the Russians tend to overestimate themselves. And my basic theory is we see in Iran, in Ukraine, that these wars are too expensive. And I say that the responsibility of everybody, also of guys like you, is not to engage in this kind of flamethrower rhetoric of insults and total rhetorical annihilation of your opponents. But you should try to understand the other guy, and we should find a solution to get out of this mess. We have all put ourselves into it. And even though Russia is closer to go to the Almighty and to the Holy God, this doesn't make you more immune against errors and overestimations of yourself. So let's go back to realism here.
Okay, so perchance to dream. Let's get back to realism. First of all, from point one, let's go up. Before Ukrainian memorandum, the Budapest memorandum of 1904, we had Helsinki agreement. According to this Helsinki pact, the borders in Europe should not be changed. On the basis of that, please give me back my motherland Soviet Union, whose borders been changed. Give me back German Democratic Republic. Restore back Yugoslavia that has been annihilated by NATO. So if you want to talk about borders in Europe and about changing of those borders, even if we're talking about Germans, whatever happened with German Democratic Republic? Then on Budapest Memorandum, let me remind you that this memorandum means that it's an agreement of intent. It has never been ratified, neither by Ukrainian side, nor by Russian side, nor by the parliaments of countries that signed it. So it has never, ever actually been implemented. The idea of giving back military a nuclear weapon, it was an American idea, not Russian idea. And Russia, by the way, paid for this with certain goodies. At the same time, let me remind you that Ukraine changed the basic principles on which the sovereignty of this country has been established. It was, first of all, neutral status. In the fundamental document of Ukrainian sovereignty laid the principle that they will never be part of any military ally. In 2004, Ukraine, and then in 2008, I think, they claimed that they want to become part of NATO. So they already ruined the basic principle of their sovereignty. Then on Stalin and Hitler, Pact of Molotov-Ribbentrop. Let me remind you that Russia, Soviet Union, was the last country of Europe that signed this type of agreement with Nazi Germany. The first one actually was Poland. Let me remind you that the Second World War basically started, yes, on September 1st, 1939. But please do remind me, which countries invaded Poland? It was Germany, and there was another country that decided that now they have the right to get back the territory that was given by 1938. By the decision of European countries, and that was part of the sovereign country that was given to Germany. Let me remind you that in this pact of Molotov-Ribbentrop, there was nothing about invading or taking back countries. If you even look at this protocol, you will see that what they're saying that in case of certain events, Russia basically has the right on the territory that used to be Russian territories before the First World War. That was the line of Kherson. That was promised to Russia by this time, by the agreement that ended the First World War. And let me remind you that Russia decided to take part in this war. And on September 15th, our troops went to Poland when there was no longer Polish government. And there was no fight with Polish troops. And we got back lands that were part of Russian Empire. The same with Baltic states. Let me remind you that Russia came there, Soviet Union, by the initiative of people of those countries that invited Soviet troops. At the same time, please let me remind you that in all those Baltic states, people that were in power were representatives of those nations, as well as they were well presented on the very high hierarchy of Soviet Union. When you're talking about invasion on the territory of Ukraine, it has nothing to do with reality. Let me remind you that Russian Federation made an agreement with Donetsk People's Republic and Luhansk People's Republic that since 2014 had a referendum on the territories and declared their sovereignty, and they fought against what they considered to be military coup in Kyiv that ousted from power legitimate President Yanukovych and gained into power unlegitimate Turchinov, that became interim president of Ukraine, and there is no such sign, who started special police operation against people of Donbas using Ukrainian military that is prohibited by Constitution of Ukraine. And that people of Donbas that had a vote and referendum decided to fight against those illegal military coup. And when we recognized those states as sovereign states, we signed an agreement with them of protecting them. And that's why, according to this agreement that had been signed in February of 2022, we started our special military operation, claiming that the purpose of this is protecting people of Donbas. And that was it, territory-wise. We never claimed that we want to get Kyiv, anything else. At the same time, let me remind you that German people eat shit when Americans invaded Afghanistan and destroyed Afghanistan for all the misfortunes and tragedy of September 11th. That has been not committed by Afghan pilots, but there were pilots from other countries. Afghanistan has been destroyed and millions of civilians were killed. Then by the completely false reasons invaded Iraq and then admitted that they lied, Colin Powell, with his world famous statement in the General Assembly, where it was here, in the United Council. You, Germans, French, whomever, trying at first to fight against it. And let me remind you that at initial stage, leaders of France and Germany decided not to support invasion in Iraq. And then, quite soon, somehow, they managed to lose their position. And the next iteration of this war, no one was saying even one word against it. So when Europeans are trying to say that they are against moving borders, let me remind you that German pilots, for the first time since Second World War, took part in military operation against Serbia. At the time when they were one step from signing of the peace deal, and Serbians were trying to do their best, even if their interests were completely destroyed. So now, when we are protecting people of Donbas, knowing pretty well what happened in Yugoslavia, when NATO forces allowed massacre of Serbs, and you are blaming us, using the term invasion, we never invaded anyone. We are protecting Russian people that declared their independence and their right, according to the charters of the United Nations, that every nation has a right on their own state. Isn't it true? Isn't it one of the main principles of the United Nations charters? And now you suddenly decided to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Two dictators, Hitler and Stalin. Wow. And what happened with other leaders? Mussolini, Franco, leaders of Poland that managed to die before this 1939, Piłsudski. They were not dictators? Salazar in Portugal. Who were they? Nice little guys from the toy shop. Pink ponies. Or United States at this time, with all the problems that they had and all the methods that they used. Or Europeans suddenly decided to read us morality after Avon conference, when they told Germans that basically Jews, it's your responsibility if they're citizens of Germany and do whatever you want with them. Or Holocaust just happened on the territory of occupied and in Germany. And what happened with Jews of France, Scandinavian countries, Holland? Oh, wrong question, I see.
Yeah, I have a...
So don't teach us lesson on morality, invasion. Never invaded. We never invaded. Never. Well, look at what Iran... Look at what America is doing with Iran. They killed political leaders of Iran three times. Three layers of political leaders. And look at Ukrainian leaders. They're still all alive.
Yeah. And the Iranians, I mean, okay. The great moral teacher, Vladimir Solovyov, tells me not to give moral lessons. No, I don't give moral lessons. I look at it from a realistic point of view. And the thing is, we can argue for ages about international law, and as you well know, there are different interpretations. I'm not the
there
judge.
There are no
of
different interpretations of the Second World War.
Of course.
Forget it.
Yeah, come on. Of course.
No. There's Nuremberg Tribunal. There are papers of Nuremberg Tribunal. There's court decision of Nuremberg Tribunal. According to this court decision, the war has been started by Nazi Germany.
Yeah, I don't go into this argument. I agree with that. I would not say that the Nazis didn't start the Second World War,
Tribunal.
But I just tell you.
Okay, in Europe, do you still respect decisions of the Nuremberg Tribunal or not? That's the most important question.
Okay, cool. But now this is now we shouldn't. That's not a fruitful discussion. Now we should go to the present tense.
Okay.
What we are seeing at the moment, in my interpretation, I mean, you can argue it from an international point of law perspective, but I think that's not the thing here. Russia is defending its sphere of influence at its borders. Russia has no interest whatsoever that NATO, a Western military alliance, goes into Ukraine, comes closer to your borders. That's true. But Russia has signed, on the other hand, contracts in Istanbul in 2000 or 1999, which was the year where they said every state which signs this agreement can choose their military alliance freely if it doesn't violate the security interests of another country. And there, of course, the West and Russia have totally different ways of interpreting it. And Russia has decided to invade. I mean, it's an invasion. Come on.
We never, ever invaded anyone.
Stupid sophistry. Of course you have invaded.
It's not sophistication.
Of course.
Okay. Have you invaded Yugoslavia?
Whose troops went into Ukraine?
Have you invaded Iran? Have you invaded Afghanistan? Have you invaded Syria? Have you invaded Libya?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes, of course.
Was it invasion?
But come on, are we now on this stupid level that you justify your
level.
Errors
it's extremely
with the stupidities
important.
Of the others?
No, it's extremely important judicial terms. One thing when you're saying invasion, another thing when you're saying that you fulfilled the treaty with the country on protecting this country. It's extremely important. Will come later on for international court decisions. We've never invaded. That's completely wrong. Have America invaded Iran?
Of course. Well, not invaded, they have bombarded it, but they didn't
No,
go
but
there
also invaded.
Troops.
If you remember land operation, trying to save the pilot.
Of course.
Where are the sanctions against America?
Yeah. I agree with you. That there is a Himalaya of hypocrisy out there. We don't have to discuss, but it is the decision of your government to engage in this kind of war. And now we are still in this war, even though it's the most successful military operation according to Vladimir Solovyov.
Where did you get this story about enormous losses of Russian people?
That's what people tell me when I'm in Russia.
Which people?
Well, which people? I wouldn't name them. These are my sources, but these are people, regular people. I respect.
Yeah, regular
say,
people.
Come on, there are
regular
too many
people in Russia. I would like to meet those regular people so they will explain to me where did they get those numbers from. Because
they got it from the families they know, from their relatives.
So in this case, if they do the correct study, I will be very interested in knowing them, because in science, there are certain methods of evaluating the losses. And they're all well known. It's statistic of amount of new graves, it's dynamic of the growth of population, that's the increase or decrease of rate of death in comparison with the same period of the last year. If you take all those numbers, you will see that there is no huge growth on those lines. That's why when someone is telling you this, from the science and methodological point of view, it's extremely important to see where did they gain it from. Because when you're talking about Ukraine, you see it. It's obvious. It's a decrease of the population. Tremendous. Awful. If you're talking about Russia, you won't see those ups. That's why every time when people are trying to put this emotional thing, I'm asking about exact numbers. And that's where it doesn't match.
Okay.
Every life is important. And the loss of every life, it's a tragedy, of course.
Sure.
But if you... And I told you, when we have exchange of bodies, it's every time we give 500, we get back 20 or 30. That's why it's not even possible to compare. In Ukraine, they had a statistic of new graves, of those that, not new graves, of the necrologues that were published in local paper. 6 months ago, it was more than already 700,000. So yes, it's an awful loss of people in Ukraine, but they haven't admitted it. They're saying like that, 50,000 and that's it. That's bullshit. In Russia,
terrible,
completely different statistics.
Terrible reason why we should stop this mass killing immediately. Let me ask you one
we
final question.
We thought since day one.
Yeah.
We claimed since day one. We can stop at any given moment of time. We were extremely precise. And we were not telling that give us Kiev. We were not saying give us Lviv. No. Istanbul documents that are well known, been published, and the Ukrainian side admitted by Arakhamiya that were even, what's this term, ratified or something like this, paraphernalia, that they were ready to be signed. And we had agreement on every single point. There was not even a question at this time of territory of Zaporozhye and Kherson. There were only Crimea and Donbass. We never, ever, even one word in this agreement was about Ukraine should not exist, give us Lviv, give us Kyiv, nothing like that. That's why this European fake news that Russia was willing to conquer Ukraine and destroy Ukrainian sovereignty has nothing to do with reality. Just read Istanbul papers, read Istanbul agreement.
Here we have no disagreement. One final question. We are running out of time. I'm looking on the clock. You have to keep your schedule.
Right.
Next time we have to discuss the question, what actually is the military sense in escalating the war? I mean, if you would start to strike European countries in the West, Western European countries, what makes you so sure that these strikes would destroy the willingness to engage in this war?
No, it will not destroy the willingness.
We probably would see the opposite. So this would be an extremely reckless decision to do it from the side of Russia. So we should discuss this the next time.
It won't be reckless. No, it's quite easy to explain. It will not affect the willingness of the European elites to die, but it will destroy the military potential to fulfill their desire of destroying us. Because right now what we see that Europeans invested enormous amount of money into military-industrial complex. We see how they're building up the military machine. Why should we wait? When they are stating that they're willing to give Ukrainians ballistic missiles that will be manufactured on the joint factories in the United Kingdom, in Germany, in Scandinavia. Why should we wait all this ballistic to hit our territory when what we can do right now is to hit those factories? So this ballistic will not be produced. It's completely pragmatic, as you'd say, decision. And that you want to destroy Russia or you're planning to have a war with Russia is obvious because in your budget for the next year on military expenses on Ukraine is 70 billion euros. You are planning. So why should
we
wait?
Remarks.
Okay.
Two remarks on that, if you allow. First, this would be extremely dangerous if you do this because then it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You would enforce all the war propagandists in the West. They would say, you see, we always told you, Russia is crazy, Putin is the new Hitler.
And what will happen then?
He attacks us, we always promised it. And secondly, and you know, if production
sites and if it happens, what will happen then?
I know you are saying, well, the Americans will never come to the rescue
it's not
of
that.
Europe. I wouldn't be so sure.
I'm not sure
about that, Vladimir.
I'm not that sure. It's not that.
I mean, the Americans fought.
Man,
it's
much
easier.
Much easier. We don't give a fuck about what your propagandist will going to say. What we care about is will you have enough ammunition to fight us? If we destroy your factories, And if you have a willingness to die in this war, fine. You will just won't have anything to fight with. But if we expect, and if we wait for yet another time, when Germans will get their own nuclear weapon, when they will build enough missiles, enough minions, enough drones or whatever, and then they will start doing this. Why? Every single century you're doing this. We don't want to give you any chance. We are already absolute evil in your eyes. Why should we give a fuck? We don't need your love. We don't care for what's happening in your brains. That's not it. We just want to be sure that there's no threat coming from this part of the world. And there is no threat when there is no weapon that they can use against us. So destroying your factories is just absolutely pragmatic. And when
That's
they talk
the
about
Americans
people, don't
Iran
you worry. Americans don't want anything to do with Europe. Why Americans should risk? You haven't helped them with Iran. Why should they help you with Russia? What Americans have to gain in it? If you suddenly disappear, they will get Greenland. What do they have to gain from supporting you? And if you think that they will support you, look at the allies in the Arab world. Are they protecting them? Are they fighting for them? No, they cannot even do it.
Do you think that China will allow this kind of escalation by the Kremlin?
You really don't get it, right? We don't need permission from anyone. We're not Europeans that rely on American umbrella. We are Russian bear. We don't ask permissions. We move. We move and we do whatever it takes to survive in this wild, wild world. We always survive. Thank you, Roger.